Well, Spider-Man, Pirates of the Caribbean, Shrek and all the other Hollywood blockbusters climbed to the top of the global box office this month. A thriller, Tell No One, is bucking the trend in France. It took $17 million in its first 4 weeks alone. The film's set in Paris, and it begins with an email that lands in the inbox of a doctor called Alex. It's from his wife, who, rather disturbingly, was brutally murdered 8 years ago. Tell no one, she says to him in her note. They're watching. As new evidence about his wife's death emerges, Alex soon finds himself on the run, trying to escape the police and a shadowy group of killers. He's also desperate to find out if his beloved wife is actually still alive. The film's directed by Guillaume Canet, better known as an actor in films like The Beach, and it stars Kristen Scott Thomas as the best friend of Alex in quite a different role to the one she's usually associated with, upper class, aloof and very English, in films like The English Patient, Four Weddings and a Funeral, and Gosford Park. So, when the BBC's Francine Stock spoke to Kristen Scott Thomas, she asked if it was the chance to do something different that was the attraction of this film.
This is one of the reasons I like working in France so much, is that I think they're less narrow-minded as far as casting me is concerned, and people will allow me to do different things from things I've been allowed to do in England. I like playing small parts in films like that because you have very few scenes and you have to really nail it in those scenes. You don't have a great big expanse of dialogue and you don't have this huge canvas that you can fill with detail. You just have to really get it right in five scenes. Four Weddings and a Funeral was one of the films I did ages and ages ago, which was perhaps one of the things I'm most people always come out to say, oh, that was great, because there were five scenes, but they were so well written, and, you know, we managed to get it right, and so you get that character in five scenes, and hopefully it's the same in this one.
I noticed that the director said that one of the things that appealed to him about having you in film was that precisely because you weren't playing one of those aloof aristocratic women that he'd often seen you do. And I mean, is it generally true that the parts that come to you in France ignore all that? They don't go the aloof aristocratic line at all?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I'm never asked to do things like that. I'm always asked. And what was great about playing this particular part was also the fact that it was closer to me in the way she moves and the way she dresses and the way it was more relaxed physically making that film.
You're going to be on screen in an English language film not so far away in The Other Bilingual.
Oh, yes.
Well, another return then to aristocratic again.
Yes, I think you're right.
So that sort of balance of your activities now, sort of maybe half of your work in France and half international.
Yeah, ideally. Yeah, I'd love to be able to make more films in England, but there just don't seem to be any.
Well, there are quite a few, of course, but probably not ones you'd want to be in.
Or probably ones that just don't want me because there isn't any space for a sort of aristocratic woman in the 1930s, which is apparently the only thing I can play.
I mean, you're sometimes reported as having turned your back on Hollywood or left Hollywood. Is that true?
Well, that sounds fantastically grand. No, I didn't turn my back, I just gave up. No, I didn't. I don't know, it was just... It's a long way from home, you know. It really is a long way from home. I love going to America. I love American filmmaking. I think where I slotted in didn't really suit me. I wasn't being asked to do things that I really was eager to get out of bed for. And I made some fantastic films, but then I found myself being asked to reissue the same thing the whole time, and I just found that a little bit dull. It's not a question of turning my back on. Of course, you know, I'd love to make another film in America, but I just can't do with all the things you have to do to get a job. Too lazy.
So did you find that you were kind of more impatient with American filmmaking or American directors even than European ones?
I don't think it's a question of being... It's just the size of the industry. There is a French film industry and a flourishing French... Well, has been more flourishing, but I mean, it works, it functions. And it has its own style and, you know, everything we've been just talking about, the variety of roles that I'm allowed to do, the people I can work with, the words I can say. And it's just very, very different. I'm not required to be appealing. Whereas in America, I always felt that I was required to be appealing, and I don't particularly like being appealing. I think it's rather dull.
I guess that is a feature of Hollywood, that actually women of all ages, you know, from kind of 6 up to 90, are expected to be appealing, whatever their age. And if they're not appealing, then they're somehow usually punished somewhere in the script.
Yes, I think there is some truth in that. Obviously, I think what you're really talking about is big studio films, the sort of the ones with the heroic women, except they're never really proper heroic women. There are very few films about women who are heroic, positive. And yeah, I find that really frustrating. I think that in Europe, women, certainly old women like me, old haggard with the terrible old bags like me, are treated far more, not respectfully, even just with more interest. I mean, people are more interested in women of 40 and over. And it's great that you've got women like Helen Mirren, like Charlotte Rampling, you know, these women having fantastic careers because of European filmmaking.